You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 129 for July 9th, 2014.
Welcome to the podcast where we talk about running. Lots of running. Actually, maybe not so much.
A little less running?
A little bit less running for me.
Some running? We talk about some running.
But good quality. It was, for me personally, it was a quality over quantity week.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's good.
That was actually a cool thing. We're actually just off of the 4th of July weekend, so hopefully everybody had a good holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully many people had a chance to do some races.
Yeah.
Like we said, very popular day for running a race. Lots of firecracker 5Ks and
Independence Day
run
something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do we have today? Kind of a more typical episode, I guess, in some ways. So we'll talk a little bit about our weeks and what we did over the 4th. And kind of some running news, and then we'll talk a little bit about nutrition and hydration,
mm-hmm.
or kind of maybe when you should, at what point you should start doing that during a run. So let's kind of jump into, well, first, before we jump into anything, skipping over stuff, just want to mention some old business, so old business here. We did post some pictures that we took at the USATF Track Championships that we were at and the Western States 100. Posted some of those to our Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
so you can head over there. They've been up for several days, I think.
Yeah.
Or a while, a week, I don't know.
Probably about a week.
I don't think I actually posted them to Google Plus, so don't look for them there.
Oh, nice.
Because I forgot to post them there. And then also posted to our YouTube channel, I took some video at Western States finish line, so I got video of the top 9 male finishers coming through, so I kind of mashed that into one video. Nothing special, but if you kind of want to see what the runners, how they looked after 100 miles coming in to the finish and kind of what the atmosphere was at the finish. It's kind of worth a look, a couple minutes. Easiest way to get to our YouTube page is just go to embracerunning.com. Very bottom right, there's a link to YouTube. That's probably the best way to get there. So can also get to our Facebook page right from embracerunning.com too, if you haven't been there.
Yep.
All right. That's old business. New business. I had mentioned before, we're both registered for the Kauai Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've been talking for quite a while about downgrading from the full marathon to the half. And I kind of forced myself to make a decision this past weekend. So I decided that, yes, I am going to downgrade to the half marathon. So I went to their website and looked for how I did that. Didn't find the answer. So I emailed the race. And they basically told me just the easiest way to do it is just downgrade at the race expo.
Yeah.
Either the day before or 2 days before. So I'm just going to do that, I guess. And I guess it gives me a little bit more time in case I want to change my mind back the other way to doing the full marathon.
But you don't think you will?
I don't think so. At this point in time, I'm actually not. Lately, I just haven't been super interested in running long
mm-hmm.
on the weekends or anything like that. And I'm kind of more interested in kind of maybe running, you know, a little bit faster on shorter stuff, kind of working towards that goal and doing some trail running, which mm-hmm. I've been doing the last 2 weeks, which has been awesome. So I'm kind of focused on that and I kind of don't want to focus on don't want to worry about marathon training at this point in time. And it's been super hot here in Northern California and it's kind of tough to get out there and run a lot of mileage on hot days, at least for me. So I'm just not focused on that. And plus I'm going to be in Hawaii and I don't want to stress over the fact that, you know, oh, I have to do this marathon. That way I can just go to Hawaii and, you know, oh, I'm just doing a half. That's not going to be any big deal. You know, I can cover that no problem and kind of have more fun there.
No pressure.
Yeah. So, that's that. Other new business. We are registered for another race off in a far off place. We are registered officially for Ragnar, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
So that might, some people might say, hey, I thought Elena already did that, but this is Ragnar, Colorado, the road relay.
12
person, 2 van thing.
I did the Ragnar Trail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're going back. I'm going to Colorado for the mm-hmm. first time ever. And looking forward to that. Should be fun. I'm not looking forward to running at that kind of elevation.
It's fun.
I think you're lying, but I think you're trying to make sure I don't change my mind and don't hop on a plane. So, that'll be fun. So we're in for that. You actually will get a double medal for doing both the trail and the road in Colorado.
Right,
they have a special one for that.
Which
so.
Is pretty cool.
Yeah, extra bling. So.
Yeah.
So that's on the schedule. So I guess let's talk a little bit about our weekend training. I'll let you go first.
All right. So my week, I had 1 day of strength training. That was basically all my cross training. So not much, but had something.
Better than zero.
Better than zero. 4 days of running for a total of, I think, just over 34 miles, which included three out of 4 of those days were trail runs, although I did run twice on 1 day, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. But so more than half of my running days were on the trail, which is pretty cool.
Which makes you happy, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I I love it. So if I had like a trail out my door, I'd just be out there all the time. Mm-hmm. So maybe not all the time, maybe not at nighttime, but most of the time I'd be out there. So I had, pretty good week. I didn't do anything too long in terms of mileage. I think the longest was about a 9 miler. We did that one together mm-hmm. out on the trail.
Yeah.
It was like about a 9 miler, which was awesome. And yeah, didn't really do, you know, any speed work or anything like that, but wasn't particularly, didn't have like a plan that I was following or anything mm-hmm. for training, just running. This past week had a lot of fun. And then I realized while you were giving yourself a deadline to figure out about Kauai, what to do in terms of downgrading or not, I realized I need to come up with a training plan for Kauai Marathon because it is 8 weeks away.
Right.
So I developed that actually not until yesterday, but I did develop it. And so I have that ready to go because I only have 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm motivated and I feel focused and I have a goal, you know, 8 weeks from now. So
yeah, I think it's good for you to kind of put it in the front of your head that, hey, I have this marathon in 8 weeks, because I think right. we both have put this race in kind of in the back of our minds
yeah.
in many ways. So
should not be doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my week. How was your week?
So my week was pretty good, mm-hmm. although
I know you'll be talking a little bit more about the trail runs. So
yeah,
I just chime in with your week.
Okay. That makes sense. Well, I guess let me start with my cross training, which was unofficial cross training because I helped some family move, which was my cross training. Which
okay,
was
I'm going to add that too then.
Yeah. So it was super tiring moving lots of couches and large heavy items, and that's always not fun, but it's a really good workout. So I'll call it, my arms are definitely tired from that. So I'm calling that my cross training for the week.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair. Other than that, for my running, I actually only did 2 days of running this past week. It's kind of crazy for me personally, just because my schedule has been insanely busy of late, and I don't see that getting any better until September, maybe. So it's I think it's going to be a struggle in some ways to get runs in and get workouts in over the next, 6-7 weeks. But I'll do the best I can. But 2 runs in, both of them were trail runs. They actually happen to be back-to-back. So kind of part of the 4th of July weekend, we did both those runs together. The first mm-hmm. one, we actually went to a place called Point Reyes
mm-hmm.
National, I guess it's called the Seashore?
Uh-huh, National Seashore.
Which is a little bit north of the Bay Area here in California. And it's a beautiful place. We've both been there in the past, done hikes there and camped nearby. And we went out there and did this 9 miler, basically from, for those familiar from, I think, Bear Creek Visitor Center out to Arch Rock and back.
Mm-hmm.
So nice out and back, kind of had some rolling hills and not super tough or anything like that by trail running standards at all. It was kind of funny because I kept asking you at certain points over both runs, because I would obviously, you know, tougher climbs and stuff, I'm kind of taking walk breaks, and I kept asking you, you know, would you be walking at, you know, would you have walked yet if this was you?
Right.
You know, I asked you that several times. Yeah. Would you be walking?
Would you be running this,
hill?
This part?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was just trying to gauge, you know, I guess my fitness level against yours to kind of get an idea. I don't know why. It was just kind of something interesting to do on the mm-hmm. run, but it was definitely fun to get out on the trails. Again, did
yeah,
that the week before, which we talked about last time.
Well, the other thing that I thought was interesting that you kept commenting on was, this is uphill. And I was like, it is? Or, you know, because it was like, there's certain parts and I'm like, okay, now it feels like down. And you're like, no, it's not. It's like uphill. And then we're like trying to look back and trying to figure out, you know, that's when it was just a slight grade, but it was yeah. just funny that we were having that conversation.
Yeah, I always take it back to the cycling thing that they always say, you know, it's like a false flat type
right.
of thing. But yeah, I think sometimes I'm funny in that I'm probably whining a bit sometimes. And, you know, this is uphill, you know, we went on this out and back and it was 90% uphill. I know that's impossible,
right.
but it certainly felt like that. Or I think a long time ago, I used to talk about CIM, you know, and I used to say, there's no way that was a net downhill course,
yeah.
you know, but truth be told, it was. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so it was very scenic, a lot of fun. At least you get to, Arch Rock is at the coast, so you basically mm-hmm. get to run to the beach, and I scrambled down the rocks to below the arch and everything. It was, you know, Point Reyes is a cool place if you're in California, if you ever visit and you have time. It's a little bit out of the way, but a very cool place to go and check
yeah,
out.
Yeah, definitely
so,
worth it. And it was a super nice, clear day.
Perfectly
so,
clear, perfect
yeah.
weather. Lots of people out there hiking. Did we see anybody else running?
No.
No, oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, some kids, like little kids, but yeah.
Running for 20 feet sprints,
yeah, exactly.
probably. Yeah. So that was super cool. Had some fun. The very next day was my second run, our second run together. We actually went out to the Marin Headlands, which is the northern part of the Bay Area, kind of across the Golden Gate Bridge, Marin Headlands, big time trail running country out there. Lots of
races.
Lots of elites that are out there living there and training there all the time. So we went out there and did a 5 miler, which ended up being the type of run that trail run I don't really like much, because it's one where you spend the beginning just climbing and climbing and climbing, and then you kind of run the ridge tops a little bit, and then you just bomb down at the other end.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, big climb, then you're flat for a little while, and then you just bomb back down. So not a fan of that type of run. I kind of like more rolling stuff.
Yeah.
Because that first part just kicked my butt.
Well, I'd rather it be that than downhill and then climb at the end.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, I'd rather climb at the beginning.
Yes, that's a very good point. But I just always have a hard time, and we were talking about this, I think, on the run, when it's you're kind of straight out of the parking lot or wherever you're starting from, when it's just straight uphill.
Yeah, yeah.
It just kind of, you know, to me, I always equate it to just getting like punched in the chest, because you know, your heart rate just jumps up so fast and the breathing gets so difficult so fast and so quickly. So, but yeah, other than that, it was a cloudy day, right?
Mm, most of the days, I think, are out there.
Cloudy day, but it was kind of cool being up there and
trying to think. More like coastal views.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to think. Do we see anybody else running? No.
I don't think so. We saw a lot of people hiking.
Yeah. Lots of people out there just kind of enjoying the weekend and stuff. But very cool. Had fun. Like I said, it's for me lately with the heat, I haven't been too interested in kind of those runs I talk about out of my front door. But kind of getting out to go somewhere else and do a trail run is, to me, super exciting right now, and kind of really, you know, for that, I'm like, let's go do it.
It's keeping you interested.
Know, just my normal midweek run, I'm kind of, you know, like, whatever. I did wear some new shoes out on that second trail run, wore my new Hoka Rapa Nui's, which so far that's the only run I've done in them. And they kind of seemed like what I expected, kind of first impression.
Felt okay?
Yeah, I felt pretty good. The interesting thing is, you know, I definitely felt like a little bit more cushioned. They're not one of Hoka's heavily cushioned shoes, but felt a little bit more than my normal Asics trail shoes. But I also felt on the negative side a little bit more disconnected from the trail. Which I didn't really like. I kept the speed laces on them for that run. The speed laces that come with it, they also come with regular laces in the box. And the only reason those speed laces are still on my shoes at this very moment is because I forgot to cut them off yesterday. So I will be cutting them off immediately, because I still do not like the speed laces that come with the Hokas at
That's
all.
That's funny.
I just can't get them tight enough and dial in the fit at all with those. So those are getting cut off. Like I said, immediately after this podcast, let me make a note right now, and I'll do that later. So, but other than that, the shoes were kind of what I expected, and I guess maybe I'll report back after I do a few more miles in them. And I think this coming weekend, we haven't mentioned, we're doing Dirty Half Dozen, so we're both doing 6-hour races.
Yep.
Both hoping to cover 26 miles or more. I don't think that's a problem. Me, I'm hoping make sure everything goes good. But I think I'm actually going to do a shoe change in the middle of it. So I think I'm going to wear my typical Asics trail shoes, you know, maybe for the first 18, 20 miles. And because of the fact that it's a 3-mile loop that you keep kind of passing your own personal aid station, I'll take the Rapa Nui's and just switch it out in the middle because I can.
You can always switch back too.
That's true. So if I do a loop with them and I don't like them, I can switch right back. Mm-hmm. But basically just taking advantage of the fact that, you know, we have that little opportunity to make a change if we want to. Also, chance to relax in the middle loop. So I guess we'll report on that next week, see how that goes.
Yeah.
All right, that's a very long-winded week for me. Should we kind of get into some stuff here?
Yes.
Mention some races from this past weekend. Gold Coast Marathon, Mad Marathon, Peachtree Road Race, which we'll talk a little bit about. Let's talk a little bit about elites. Mo Farah was actually hospitalized with some abdominal pain. Hopes to resume training soon, although by now he might actually be already. I did one of those things. You look at your wrist, you know, and there's no watch there and it makes no sense. But
yeah, he's just looking at your wrist.
And no word exactly what was wrong with him. So I don't know. Mary Kane won the 3,000 meter at the Junior Track and Field Championships in Eugene, Oregon, out at Hayward Field. Crystal Landry and Amy Hastings won the U.S. 10K titles at the Peachtree Road Race in Atlanta. And so that's for elite. Now, speaking of Peachtree Road Race, we actually came across a blog entry, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes, talking about, what should we call it? Some race food drama, I guess?
Yeah.
And kind of, it was kind of funny seeing the pictures from the blog. But basically...
Yeah, so if nothing else, check out the pictures.
Yeah. basically, it's kind of talking about if you're a back-of-the-pack runner, which absolutely nothing wrong with that. The fact that sometimes when you are running a race, these races are, sometimes the issue is they're kind of closing up shop, basically.
Mm-hmm. When you're
I know that
through.
Can be an issue, or yeah. crowds have gone home. So I always say, you know, it's, I give kudos to everybody out there running races, but I think if you're towards the back of a race, I think I give you more credit because not only are you out there longer, but your environment's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So
might be warmer, might be.
Yeah, you're dealing with warmer. People go home. Sometimes volunteers, water run out. You know, there's all these issues. But this one was specifically talking about the post-race food. Mm-hmm. And I guess the issue was at this particular race, they took pictures of people that had obviously come in earlier in the race. And I guess they had post-race, they had bagels and all kinds of different snacks and lots of
drinks,
food, seems
peaches,
like.
Tons
yeah,
of peaches.
That's right.
Yeah.
Going with
at
the race.
The peach, yeah.
And it's funny because there's pictures of people that basically, what's the right term? Should we say hoarded?
Yeah, they actually have the thing that says, are you a race hoarder? And then they have pictures next to it. They basically had their gear check bag and then full with post-race food.
Yeah. And, the,
yeah,
and
like
these
multiples
look like
of stuff that maybe you would normally only take one of.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe you take one bagel, not five, like it's in one of these pictures.
Yeah, I don't know why somebody would take
five bagels. I don't know.
That doesn't seem...
I've tried to save one bagel or a half a bagel that I've had before for a race. And like by the time I get home that evening, it's all like crusty and anyways. So I don't know. I mean, you're not really, I don't know.
Yeah. So there's pictures of people with, you know, took a bunch of peaches or bunches of bagels or basically, you know, they went grocery shopping at the post-race.
Yeah,
tables.
Pretty much. That's what it looks like.
And the problem with that is if you're, for that particular day, if you're towards the back of the race, you're running a slower time, you get to the end of the race and there's no food for you. Basically because all the faster people have taken all the food. So. I guess if anything else, this is a reminder to all of us that, you know, the post-race that food is there for everybody and it's
exactly.
not necessarily there for you to do your weekend grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
or feed your family is one thing that it said.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah you
like,
know,
or all your friends and family that came to cheer you on.
Yeah. One thing it said, yeah. you know, make sure you tell your friends and family there's no food for them. They need
right.
to bring their own snacks
exactly.
to the race. So, yeah, just kind of a reminder, I guess, to be conscious and, you know, I guess we're considering good etiquette to basically take one of everything, if that's what the race has. I know most people in the comments thought it was kind of horrible that people were taking so much food and basically doing all this stuff. I know one person made the comment that people, volunteers, basically said, you know, take as much as you want, which, I can't blame people for taking extra stuff if they say, you know, take as much as you want, because I've definitely seen races where there's tons of post-race food.
Right, right.
Although there's probably better things they could do with the food. You know, they could take it to a shelter or something like that mm-hmm. after the race. But I've definitely seen races with extra stuff. But I think the fair thing to do is just kind of take one of everything or follow the instructions of the volunteers there. You know, if they tell you to take one, you know, take one. If they tell you it's okay to take two. But don't abuse the system.
Exactly.
I know you can make the argument you paid for that in your race reg, but you didn't pay for, you know, you maybe paid for one bottle and one Gatorade and one bagel and one sports bar, but you didn't pay for 10 of them.
Exactly.
So be courteous to those behind you at mm-hmm. the race and don't abuse the system. Anything else you want to say on that?
No, I mean, I think one other thing that was mentioned was that for this particular race that the food wasn't in an area that was like sectioned off, like just for runners.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like in some other races, you might have that. One that comes to mind is like the rock and roll races where you go through the runner's finishing area.
Shoot.
Yeah. And so other people can't get in that area and you can't get back in once you're out. So this might be a good race to do something like that for if you're worried yep. about non-runners, you know, getting to the food too.
I'm surprised basically. That wasn't the case because
yeah.
almost every race we do, the food is sectioned off so that you kind of have to be a runner to even get
there.
The tables.
Right. Like having just crossed the finish line essentially. Right. Yeah.
I know some suggestions on better ways to do it is some people mentioned races where they give you a bag. You know, right before you get to the food and volunteers kind of put one of everything in there.
Right.
And that's a good
so that
way
you can't
to make
just
sure.
grab as much as you want.
But
yeah,
that's
that
a little bit
a
more,
way.
More difficult for volunteers.
Yeah.
Or if you go the prepackaged route, you know, you can look to Disney for their stuff. You get your little box with your food. So as long as they give one box to everybody, there's plenty. Everybody actually gets the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't run out. So, yeah. So be courteous to the people behind you. Don't abuse the race.
Yep. That's a take home message there.
All right. Let's move on here. Came across something else pretty good. A non-runner's guide to runners. And we will also put a link to this in the show notes. So it's a pretty, it's from actually Mark Remy, who's writer and creator at Remy's World. Although I actually didn't find this on Remedies World. It was on somebody else's blog. I think it was on HuffPo. But basically kind of explaining to non-runners about runners. But it's done in a very comical fashion. So I think it's kind of worth a read.
In a Remy's fashion.
Yeah, if you know him or read any of his stuff. Anything you want to pull from this that we should mention?
For me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just looking for it here. Did you have...
I like the one part. It says, are runners dangerous? It says you should never provoke them, of course. But runners, by their nature, are docile and will go out of their way to avoid confrontation. However, females pushing jogging strollers may attack if they feel their babies are in danger. Also, hearing certain phrases might enrage runners. Among them, running will ruin your knees. Marathons cause heart attacks. Hey, you're a jogger, right? And jogging will ruin your knees. So, I guess those are the four things that you shouldn't say to a runner. Don't mention to a runner, because we don't take too kindly to those words. That's kind of the one I pulled out of it that I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah, I like the one. I was just hoping we didn't pick the same one. So mine was, what should I do if I encounter a runner who's lost and scared? So from time to time, a runner may stray from his pack and find himself in unfamiliar territory, such as a sports bar or a dinner party full of extroverts. Often he will appear agitated or confused. Don't panic. Runners can sense anxiety, and it will only make a bad situation worse. Instead, approach the runner and ask about his footwear or his watch. Both will likely be running specific. Soon he will be talking about running nonstop, which will put him at ease. This will buy you some time while someone phones the nearest specialty running store. The store will send someone to collect the runner and return him to safety.
Yeah,
I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. I don't think calling any local running store will do anything, but...
That
would actually be really funny if we did do that. Call like a local running store and say, hey,
I have a lost runner.
Could
you come pick them up?
Yeah. I wonder what they would say.
I don't know.
That would be a good one. Yeah. Try that out, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. So, we'll link to that also.
It's pretty funny.
It's definitely worth a read. Other news, Louis Zamperini passed away at the age of 97.
Mm-hmm. So, 97.
Which is awesome. A nice long life. Not awesome that he passed away, but awesome.
I knew what you meant, but that's probably good that you clarified.
So who is Louis Zamperini?
Louis Zamperini, he 5K Olympian 1936, and also a Japanese POW during World War II. There's a book called Unbroken, which I actually listened to.
Okay.
Audible. a couple years back. It's really good. It talks about, his running life, running career, being an Olympian, but then also... what it was like to be a Japanese POW. So there's actually a movie being made based on the book Unbroken that's coming out, I believe, later this year. So, yeah, pretty well-known guy, not just for his running, but also for the war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So pretty interesting to look forward to the movie coming out at the end of the year. I think Angelina Jolie is kind of behind that.
Directing it, and I'm not sure. Probably has more to do with it as well than that.
Okay. Next story, 69-year-old breaks record for most marathons in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more.
All right. So Larry McCone ran 239 marathons in 2013.
Say that number again, because it's 239
marathons.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Right. And he broke his own record.
I don't even come close to running that many days in a year, much less marathons. But yeah, what was his, right? I mean,
yeah. So I had to think about that for a second. That's why I had a delayed laugh.
What was his previous record?
I was just looking at that. It looks like his previous record was 157 marathons, which broke his previous record of 113 marathons, which broke his previous record of 105 marathons.
So he just keeps shattering, at least for the last couple of years, keeps shattering his own record.
Yeah. It looks like the first record he had set was in 2008 for 105. So,
and I actually asked you, these are actually official races?
Yeah.
Although I don't know how you could do...
Well, they have like all those like quadzillas and seven-day races and stuff. So, I mean, obviously it involves a lot of traveling.
Yeah, because, I mean, I know there's a lot of those, but there's not that many of those.
Mm-hmm.
And you would probably have to do them all, which would have you crisscrossing the country like crazy. But I guess 69, I'm assuming he's retired. So I guess he has the time.
He's a lawyer. It doesn't say retired lawyer, but I'm...
Then never
mind. I don't know how you would work...
And run that many
full-time
marathons?
And run... Yeah. 239 marathons in a year. So it's funny, though. There's a quote from him in the article, and it says, the hardest part is traveling from place to place, making connections, and going two to 3 days without sleep. Once you get to the race, you can always run, walk, or crawl to the finish. So it almost sounds like it's the travel aspect of it, and the logistics is tougher. And the lack of sleep, which I could definitely see that being an issue.
Yeah, I mean, that would, I can't imagine having that kind of schedule. I mean, I guess I can't imagine the schedule, much less even the running that many miles.
Yeah.
It, to me, it's just crazy. But more power to him if he can do it. So.
Absolutely.
Congrats to him on breaking the record.
Mm-hmm. His own record. We'll see That's what happens true. This year.
Yeah. Although, and you also said there was somebody else that kind of unofficially has run.
Actually, more than that, but more, they're not all but official it's not races. Road races. Yeah. So it doesn't have the official record.
Yeah. All right, let's kind of jump into a little bit of a discussion topic that we were going to have. We got the question asked by a listener about basically how, you know, when do you start drinking for hydration? When do you start taking hydration? And when do you start taking nutrition on the run? So how long, how many miles, that type of thing. Does that make sense? Did I categorize that correctly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like at what point, at what either mileage or time frame, do you say I'm going to need water for this run or something to drink or a goo or something to take with me?
So... good question. Mm-hmm. First off, which kind of we had our own little separate conversation about that, and we'll kind of
like
I guess,
we always do. So, we have a little offline.
So I guess we'll kind of repeat some of that and maybe go off a little bit more on that. So should we start? I mean, the first place we're going to kind of start from is, you know, we both did our coaching certification, so we kind of referred to back to our handbook to see what we had learned in the class, because I didn't necessarily remember the details off the top of my head.
Yeah, I didn't remember the specifics. Yeah. I remember talking about this, but I didn't remember the exact numbers.
Yeah, so from our RCA coaching certification courses that we took, you kind of have the information on what their detailed answer is on that one.
Yeah, their detailed answer is drink 4 to 8 ounces of water every 15 to 20 minutes for exercise 60 minutes or less. Drink 4 to 8 ounces of sports drink every 15 to 20 minutes for exercise 60 to 90 minutes. And for exercise over 90 minutes, you need additional carbs from gels, bars, or other well-tolerated foods. And then just in general, it says be careful not to become dehydrated or overhydrated. So,
yeah. So I think we both right away agreed when we were reading that back over that we both kind of thought that was pretty heavy on in terms of how much hydration is recommending,
right.
And even nutrition and how much and when. So that's, I'm not necessarily going to recommend that because I think that's a bit much and probably most of us don't follow that guideline, at least for under 60 minutes. So
yeah, 4 to 8 ounces every 15 to 20 minutes for exercise less than 60 minutes. That's a lot.
Yeah. That's quite a bit. And everybody knows I'm more fearful of overhydration than underhydration. So for me, that definitely wouldn't fly in my book.
Yeah. I mean, clearly we're not talking about circumstances where it's extremely hot or, that sort of thing. So, yeah.
So I guess my direct way to answer the question was it depends.
Yeah.
So the first off, everybody's different. So we all have kind of our preferences and our training patterns on kind of how we do it. And then probably the most important thing is weather conditions. And if it's hot versus it's cold, whether you're doing a night run or a midday run, very different scenarios. And the third thing I'd say, it's a key factor might be, what did you do immediately before you're going out for the run?
Right.
So, is this an evening run and you had dinner and, 2 hours ago? Is it first thing in the morning?
Is it an evening run and you didn't have time to have lunch
or
drink anything after breakfast?
Long.
Yeah. So obviously we know there's a lot of different factors here, but
which I'm going to go off on a side tangent real quickly. Okay. So one thing that we didn't mention on the trail runs that we did together over the weekend, we did them in the middle of the day.
Right. Which is unusual.
Which is very unusual for us in general. We don't
so
typically.
Kind of towards the hottest.
Part of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. We typically don't go out and run at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Which we did in both these cases.
First off, that just seemed really weird.
It did. But I didn't feel as bad as I thought I would because I don't tend to feel that well with midday runs. But yeah. Anyways. Okay, let's get back.
Yeah, so bringing it back to the water and hydration. I just want to mention it because it popped in my head and I forgot to mention it before. But kind of goes to the fact we actually took hydration packs on those runs. Even though the second one was going to be a pretty short one, it was middle of the day. So we took water with us.
Yeah, and I just didn't feel like carrying a bottle, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we both went with the Nathan hydration packs, which was also kind of funny because, as we continue our tangent, I forgot the name of the hydration pack that we're running with.
Vapor Shape and the Vapor Wrap.
Thank you. Uh-huh. That's awesome. So that's obviously the women's version and the men's version, which are the ones that we have are the exact same color and they kind of the same. So I actually prepared your pack and you prepared my pack in terms of for the second day refilling
and
getting it all set. And I turned the pack around and I said, this isn't my pack. And we figured out we had the wrong packs. And I was like, oh, darn it. I prepped
mine really well. Thank you. Because you got all the air out of the bladder that I had forgotten to take out the day before. So,
and I just kept telling you, did you put enough water in mine?
Right. And I know you were so panicked. I'm like, this is how much I put in there. So, which you probably would have put more if you had prepared it. But We were okay. Okay, so back to...
Yeah, so back to the hydration and nutrition topic. Sorry, we're rambling here. I'll tell you how my personal rules kind of work and how I go about it. So, okay. I mean, for me, under six miles or under an hour, mm-hmm. I don't know why I equate 6 miles to an hour, but that's what came up in my head.
Okay.
Although I run a little bit slower than that most of the time on training runs.
But generally, I say six miles
or an hour.
Yeah.
But it was funny because when we first started talking about this, we kept talking in mileage.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously we came to the realization that 6 miles to me and 6 miles to you is a pretty big time difference mm-hmm. sometimes, or especially if you're getting into 10 or 20 for us and for a lot of people, there's a pretty big range. So, so for me, my rule is 6 miles, 1 hour, I don't take anything.
Right. So no water with you, no sports drink or electrolyte drink.
Right.
And no fuel.
Right. Nothing at all. Most of the time for me, that's my midweek runs. I do those in the evening. It's not terribly hot. Obviously there's no little to no sun most of the time, and I'll go out and do 2 milers, 3 milers, 4 milers, but I've even gone to 6, 7. I've actually done 8 miles before midweek, not often, and still don't take anything in good weather conditions. So kind of that 1 hour, 6 mile mark is mm-hmm. kind of, you know, anything under that and that, I don't take anything. If it's going to be a planned 6 to 8 miles, so I guess we are going to kind of call it the 1 hour to 90 minutes
okay.
mark. I wrote down water, but I would normally, what I do when I take a bottle is I mix half Gatorade, half water.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of been my routine for a long time. Like straight Gatorade seems too powerful. And for me, it's if I'm taking a bottle, I might as well throw a little bit of Gatorade in there. So that's how I got to my 50-50 mix.
You don't want to take straight water?
Yeah. I don't know. Really. That's just become my habit. I can't really explain a real good reason why I do that, but I've been doing that for a long time. So yeah, if it's going to be kind of in that 6 to 8 mile range, and obviously I said I've done up to 8 without it, but if that's the plan and it's kind of weekends, you know, maybe in sunlight morning runs, I will definitely take a bottle with me, but not necessarily take any nutrition at that point in time. And then anything past kind of 8 miles or an hour and 20 minutes or an hour and 30 minutes, that's when I kind of plan on taking goo. And obviously I'm taking my hydration with me. Now, if I'm planning on, say, a 10 miler, that doesn't mean I'm waiting to eat to take a goo. Like if I'm going to go do 10, I'll probably take my first goo at 5. I just kind of split it, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Usually I'm kind of doing every 4 to 6 miles
mm-hmm.
for goo, but unless I'm planning on kind of 8 or more, I don't take any goo to begin with. So that's kind of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, everybody's a little bit different. I know you're going to share what your kind of plan is.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be hugely different.
I don't think it's that different. Yeah. I mean, in general, anything less than 60 minutes or even like 70 minutes,
mm-hmm.
which would probably be about 7 to 8 miles for me. Don't need any
anything
fluid
at all.
Yeah, don't need anything at all. Now, if it's hot, I'm going to take something to drink, you know, but otherwise just normal, I'll just call it normal conditions for me. I wouldn't take anything to drink. Anything beyond that, I would take something to drink. Usually water, unless I'm talking about a long trail run or a long training run, like for a marathon, then I might take some sort of electrolyte, Tailwind, something like that. Now, in terms of when I start taking fuel with me, other than electrolyte drink such as goo or chews or something like that, probably not until after, and I was going to say miles again because that's kind of just what I go by,
right.
But I'd say probably not until after 9 or 10 miles,
mm-hmm.
something like that. And again, I would do the same thing as you. I wouldn't, like, if I'm going to do an 11 mile run, I wouldn't wait until like 8 or 9, you know, to consume the fuel. You know, I'd do it earlier,
right,
on,
right.
I usually started about 45 to 60 minutes,
yeah,
to do that. So, and I actually go by time with fueling.
Do you
mm-hmm.
normally?
Yeah. Well, at least in races, I kind of started at like 45 minutes.
That's interesting. So if you were
doing, because I cover a lot more mileage usually when I'm racing than,
right.
Yeah. So I do it more by time.
So even a marathon, you're kind of going by time.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I think even for myself, for marathons, I still usually go by mileage.
Yeah.
Just because, from a mental standpoint, it's kind of easier because
it is easier.
There's,
yeah.
There's signs, you know, every mile.
Signs.
No, I mean, honestly,
no,
you can lose track of time and not necessarily know, you know, you can plan on 45 minutes and you kind of miss it. And all of a sudden, you know, you've been out there for 70 minutes and, oh, I forgot to take my gel.
Well, I've never done that, but okay. Well, I mean, missing 45 minutes and going to 70 minutes, that's a pretty big difference. So.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Maybe I took it at 47, but not, you know. Like,
no, I think honestly, if I was going by time, and it was, you know, my plan was 45 minutes, I could easily get to an hour and, oh, I forgot to take it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't seem like a huge deal. But if you do that on a marathon and you do that four times.
Yeah, it could be a big deal.
Instead of taking...
No, I could see how the reminder's easier because you have the mile markers. You don't have, like, time markers. So.
And I do kind of start with the time. I just kind of, you know, your pace and you figure, you know, you can kind of plan it out. You know, what's going to be mile four and nine. And even before a marathon, I would like to always look at the course map beforehand and know where aid stations are. And you can even know that, you know, I'm taking my gel at 4.5 and then 9.7 because that's where the aid stations are. Because I think it's easier to take your gel at an aid station.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to throw away. And plus you got something to drink with it if it's on a race and you're not taking your own.
Yeah.
Hydration with you. But yeah, I usually do it in my mileage.
Although if we're talking about, you know, mainly most of the time we're not doing races.
Right.
We're doing training runs or running. So in that situation, you don't have to coordinate your fuel with
good point.
The aid stations. I mean, you have either your bottle or a pack or something. You have something planned out or fountains, whatever your thing is, you know, to plan out. So now I'm just going to talk about like some exceptions or caveats is if it's hot, obviously that's going to change things. If I'm doing doubles, so if I did a morning run, especially if it was kind of a tough run, and then I'm going back out in the evening, I might be more likely to take water or some sort of nutrition on a shorter run than I would if it was just one run, if that makes sense.
No, it does.
Yeah.
I think for doubles, you know, that would probably be much more important.
And then on trail runs, I don't really go by mileage at all. I go by how long I plan to be out there. So, you know, most of the time I won't be out there less than an hour, so I'm taking something with me. But I go based on, okay, I'm probably going to be out there for 2 hours or 3 hours or 3.5 hours and then figure out what I need to take.
Yeah,
because I could cover very little mileage in that time period, depending on where I'm running.
But I guess we should mention the fact that, you know, some people don't have any issue taking a bottle on every single run.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like carrying a bottle if I'm only running 2, 3, 4, 5 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you know, if you're comfortable with the bottle and you're fine with it, then, you know, take it on your shorter runs, take it on your 5-miler and, you know, sip, you know, don't overdo it because you really don't need it. But, you know, if you don't have a problem taking it, it's not a bad idea to take it.
Right.
You never know. I mean, we went from kind of our trail run 2 weeks ago. You never know when a run's going to become longer than what you plan on.
Exactly.
So, you know, you run into an issue. So it might be good to have some water with you.
Yep.
But yeah, we typically, or at least I typically don't do that. I should actually, now that I'm thinking this through, just maybe throw a gel in my back pocket for every single run. Because you never know how you're going to feel. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Just kind of as an emergency thing, as an extra thing, maybe?
I guess it depends on what you're doing. I mean, if you're going to be, like, doing loops close by, like, in your neighborhood, then you're not going to be further than maybe a mile from where
that's
you started, maybe you don't need it.
Yeah, most of my
But if you're doing,
stuff,
like, an out and back, and you could potentially be, you know, at the furthest, I don't know how many miles from your starting point, then maybe you do want to have something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. My midweek stuff is usually... I'm never more than a mile from home if I
gotta
turn tail and run.
Right,
you
like
know?
If you have to walk back a mile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. And then on the other side, you were saying that there's, you know, people who feel comfortable and take bottles or water with them all the time. I think on the flip side to that is that there are some people who can run a lot longer and further without hydration because that's how they train and that's what they're used to. So they can go 15, 16, 17 miles without anything really, but I'd say that's not the majority of us.
No.
Yeah.
And to me,
I wouldn't recommend it,
but
just pointing out the fact that there are people who do that.
And I
they're fine with that.
I would have a super difficult time going that many miles.
Yeah.
With that, I'm thinking back to a run I did 2 weeks ago. I think I did 8. Did I take a gel? I think I took a gel very late at the end. Because my plan was to take it, I think, at 4 and then finish at 8. And I kind of did one of those things like I was talking about. I forgot to take my gel on a training run. And so I took it at 6. And I didn't really need it except for the fact that I didn't know when I was going to get to some food post-run.
Right.
I wasn't close to home so for that particular one. So it was a good idea to take it for that one.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we kind of answered the question in a very roundabout, odd, tangent way. We gave you kind of the RRCA kind of coaching guidelines.
Right.
And kind of
our
personal...
Give us our spin on things.
Yeah.
And if anybody has any other input...
Let us know.
Yeah.
We'll share it with everybody.
Exactly.
And like we said, because, you know, everybody's different. Everybody has different weather conditions.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think one probably hard, fast rule is if you're going over 90 minutes, you probably should have...
Something.
Some hydration and nutrition
yeah.
at that point in time. That seems to be the common rule.
At least have it with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What are we doing? We're wishing some people good luck on upcoming races.
Mm-hmm.
good luck to Brian P., who's going to be doing Dirty Dozen. We'll hopefully see you out there next week. Brian,
he'll probably pass me quite a bit.
Yeah, he's very, very fast.
Say hi, Brian, when you zip by me.
Brian A. is doing the Sarcoma 5K in Pittsburgh. Scott's going to be out at the Jungle Run doing pacing duties again, I believe. So
that's awesome. We still got to get around. Well, I want to get around to doing that.
To pacing at some point. Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to have to be after Kauai, though.
Because you're super focused.
I'm super focused. Like day three into my training plan. Super focused.
So like we mentioned, we'll be doing that dirty half dozen 6-hour race next weekend. We'll kind of report back after that and see how it goes. It's always a fun race. Pretty unique experience. Although, depending on weather, can be, if it warms up, it could be a little bit difficult. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily in a hot location.
No.
But, you know.
It's like a big running party.
Yeah, pretty much. Followed by a nice running barbecue.
There you go.
All right, let's get to a little bit of feedback real quick, and then we're out of here.
Incoming message.
All right, so we heard from Angela, who's actually been listening since the beginning and has been meaning to email us since then.
So it's a good thing you finally get around to it.
Exactly.
Should have done it sooner.
So maybe in a few years we'll hear from her again. But is training for her first half marathon. And is actually coming back from a pretty bad injury, so kind of taking it slow. Has a long training plan for a half marathon, and en route to her half marathon, it's actually during her first trail race, which, of course, I'm excited about, even though I'm not doing it, but I'm excited. So it's a trail 10K that she actually found, and it's interesting that she says that they actually rate it a 2 out of 10, which I think that's kind of...
No.
In terms of difficulty.
Oh, okay.
you're like, why are you doing this race? That sucks. No, I interpreted it as in terms of difficulty.
That's funny. So I'm rereading it now. The first time I just thought the race was kind of, what do you think about this race? I give it a 2 out of 10.
Like, meh. That's so funny. So 2 out of 10 in terms of difficulty. So, she's saying that it looks like it could be a pretty good transition from, a road to first trail race.
Yeah,
with a difficulty of 2 out of 10, I mean, I don't know what their scale is and everything, but I think that sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, we always recommend, here locally when people ask us, we always have kind of certain trail races that we recommend, for people.
Right.
Oh, first trail race, do this one.
Yeah, or they'll ask me one, and I'm like, you don't want to do that one as the first one.
I think one of the ones we usually recommend locally, it's more about, there's not really any hills. It's just, you get to run on dirt for.
Right. Like it used to like the rocks and the dirt and some roots and
not
some
even
evenness. And
the one good thing about Angela, it was kind of good to see she's actually kind of progressed from 5K, 8K, 10K, mm-hmm. kind of moving up 15K. The ladder, which I think is the best way to go about it. You always hear somebody that, I never ran before I jumped in and did a marathon, which is not the smart way to do things.
Yeah.
Angela, you are doing the good thing of kind of doing this long progression of kind of going through mm-hmm. all the distances, and every distance is kind of different and has its own rewards. So I think they're worth kind of doing them all.
You know,
we always talk about, I think, like 8K sometimes and 10 milers being very different experiences. So
yeah. And I mean, there's plenty of people who have not ever done an 8K or a 15K.
Right.
They're just not that common distances, but it's cool that she's been able to do that progression.
We've done a 15K, right?
Yeah. We did the hot chocolate.
Okay.
Yeah. And the chocolate was really good, but... All right. So then we also heard from Beth, who actually first just want to say glad you're okay, Beth. Mm-hmm. We're very glad that you're okay, but had a very unfortunate event. It just sucks is the only way I could really say it. So she actually got mugged when she was getting ready to go for a run, got her phone taken out of her pack. Basically just kind of grabbed and, turned and grabbed her phone, and thankfully, she's okay.
Right.
No harm was done to her physically, but I'm sure that was very emotionally jarring.
Correct.
Invaded your space, your mm-hmm. safety, all of that. So we are very glad that you're okay.
Yeah.
Phone can be replaced, of course. And I know she, Beth, you mentioned that too. I can replace that, but.
Made the smart decision to kind of, somebody. Comes after your phone, just let them take the phone.
Get
another
yeah.
phone. It's not worth
exactly.
Putting yourself in danger.
Yep. Even if in the moment for a split second you're like, no, but right. yeah, just it's not worth it.
But it is a pretty very big reminder to kind of try to be as safe and as conscious
possible.
Of your surroundings, although
she did nothing wrong at all. Yeah.
It's just one of those freak things that happen, and you're just thankful she's okay, and I guess from reading her story, the local police department were kind of great and actually
very supportive,
super shockingly fantastic from reading her blog post.
Yeah,
on it.
Yeah.
I was amazed at how great they were. I just assumed the police department and cell phones just they don't care. But I guess, you know, if it happens to, you know, if physically somebody comes and grabs your phone, it's good to that, you know, that they did pay some attention and look into it. So,
but yeah, but just yeah, like you said, just a reminder, even though she did nothing wrong, just a reminder to be aware of your surroundings, be self-aware, and just be as safe as you possibly can.
Yeah, that's kind of all you can do,
yeah,
you know.
That's all you can do.
Try to be, you know, aware of what's around you, let somebody know where you're going at all times and when you're, you know, when you're due back. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes, you know, as runners, I guess it's expected that we're all running with a cell phone these days. If you're running with, you know, white earbuds, I guess, you know, they probably assume that you have an iPhone on you somewhere. I know I run with mine on my arm all the time. It's right there. Everybody can see it. I think you usually have yours in a back pocket somewhere because you're not actively listening to it much. But, you know, just reminded it does kind of make us targets. You know, you kind of don't want and don't expect these things to happen. But unfortunately, they do happen once in a while. So.
Yeah. And she did actually get back out there pretty quickly for a run. So that's good for not letting somebody take that away from you.
Yeah, she's got to get back out there. She's got exciting runs coming up soon. Yep. So, yeah. I think that's going to do it, right?
That's going to do it. Yep.
Yeah, next week, racing, 6 hours. We'll see how it goes. We'll hopefully post some pictures after that. But
It may be like the next day because we might be... You know,
a little
just,
bit slow.
Yeah, just out for the count the rest of the day. So maybe the next day we'll post something.
I've actually planned my Saturday because the race is on Saturday that, you know, okay, race starts at 7, 6 hours till 1, lunch, drive home. And then after that, it's just couch and movies and maybe some Netflix and catch up on TV shows. And that's my entire Saturday. That's all I'm going to do. So looking forward to that. So until next time.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.